Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to today's IMI PLC Interim Management Statement conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, 4th of May, 2017. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Mark Selway. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Leiden. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for taking time out of your busy schedules to be with us today. I have with me Dan Shook, Roy Twite, Massimo Grassi, and Peter Spencer joins us on the line. I hope you've had a chance to read through our IMS statement today. I don't propose to read it out verbatim, but I will cover off a couple of highlights, and then we'll be happy to take any questions you might have. Overall, two key messages: there are no unpleasant surprises in the first quarter, and our strategy remains absolutely on track. Conditions have been pretty positive in the first quarter. Organic revenues increasing across all three of our divisions when compared to the first quarter of 2016, and of course, a significant currency tailwind, which adds into the mix. I'm pleased to say that the group's outlook expectations that we set out in February results announcement have moved to the positive, and that now puts us in line with updated consensus, and for the avoidance of doubt, we read that at 61.5p for the full year. Most importantly, I'm delighted to report that our strategic plan remains absolutely on track, and it is continuing to make a real difference across all parts of the group. Our operational improvements are delivering the benefits, and the new product pipeline continues to build across all three of our divisions. Looking at the divisions on a one-on-one basis, in Critical, sector prospects still remain quite mixed, but good order input in the first quarter, and that reflects in part the continued benefits of our value engineering program, which delivered 41 million of new input in the first quarter, and some very early successes in terms of petrochemical in the quarter. Oil and gas and power markets continue to remain quite choppy and uncertain. The half year will see better than previously expected revenues, but they'll still be down a bit on 2016, with margins about the same as last year. As we said at the February announcement, cost reductions and, of course, order phasing will mean the second half will deliver an improvement on the first half of the year. Turning now to Precision, industrial automation revenues saw a continuation of the 5% improvement that we experienced in the final quarter of last year. Variable performances across a number of the other sectors. Commercial vehicle production was stronger than expected, both in North America and also in Europe, and that helped mitigate some of the contract completion issues that we flagged in our February announcements. So with that, we're expecting first half revenues likely to be about the same as the first half of last year, and after we exclude the 4 million property benefit, margins are expected to be a wee bit better than the first half of last year. The second half of the year will see the benefits of Massimo's cost reduction activities and, of course, the business improvement initiatives, which are already underway. In Hydronic, revenues were 4% higher than the first quarter of 2016, so Peter's new products and his over-the-counter strategy and a stronger performance coming out of Asia all contributed to reinforcing our confidence in our expectation of good growth during the course of this year. So in conclusion, I'm happy to say some good momentum since we last spoke to you in late February. It does reinforce our confidence in our ability to deliver the market's updated expectations for the full year, and I think with that, we're delighted to take any questions that you might have. So I'll hand over to Leiden to arrange the questions if we can.
Our first question comes from the line of Matthew Spurr. Please ask your question.
Yeah, morning, everyone. I just had a couple of questions. One was to just try and understand sort of underlying growth rates. So how much were Precision and Hydronic supported by higher working day effects in Q1? And the second one on Precision, so you're talking about flat organic revenues in H1, and you've had 3% growth in Q1. Can you highlight where you expect the reversal to bring you back to flat then in for the first half, especially if you've already had that contract rolling off already hit in Q1? Thanks.
Thanks, Matthew. I'll let Massimo take the question in relation to the second quarter. But in terms of the underlying, you're right. There was a phasing, obviously, of Easter this year versus last year, and that probably helped us to the tune of about 1% of the growth overall. That's a roughly number, Matthew. But that's the sort of balance that you would see. And Massimo, can you take the question in terms of the second quarter and your expectations?
Sure. Good morning, Matthew. As Mark mentioned, we had a very good Q4, particularly industrial automation, exiting last year. This positive trend has been confirmed in Q1 this year, so we are quite pleased about where we are. What we need to consider for the remaining part of the quarter is that we have still a very high level of volatility. So we have quite important differences in terms of order intake week after week. Then we need to consider also that Q2 last year has been particularly strong. And third, what has just been highlighted, in terms of working days, Q1 has been, let me say, favorable compared to second quarter. So that's why we believe that we consider for H1 being about flat.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Our next question comes from the line of Max Yates. Please ask your question.
Thank you. My first question would be sort of similar on Critical, and just to understand, obviously, the very strong growth that we've seen in Q1, and then again the sort of idea of revenues being down year over year for the first half, what is causing that slowdown in the second quarter? Is that just order book phasing? Because in that division, the comp doesn't necessarily look any tougher for Q2. So just trying to understand the sort of the feed through of the order book and the dynamics there.
Yeah, thanks, Max. It's Roy. Max, the comp on Q2 for sales, I think you're talking about organic sales, aren't you, which were good in the first quarter. Obviously, the first quarter of last year, Max, and you know this, you know, very lumpy business. The first quarter of last year, we only actually did £126 million. And that's pretty typical. The first quarter is not particularly good, but 6% organic growth, I certainly wouldn't be getting carried away with on what was a pretty low quarter last year. To give you the equivalent, we actually managed to do £191 million in the second quarter last year. And really, to come back a bit on what Matthew was asking, well, where's the difference? Why do we think, you know, we're not going to ship that much this year? It is what you said, it's order phasing, and particularly really in two areas. One is LNG, which I think you all know that the orders came down, they more than halved last year. And the other is power, where we had a particularly strong shipment of some new construction orders in power last year in the second quarter. So, you know, the maths does add up. We have said in a statement we think it's a bit better than we originally thought in terms of outlook for the first half, but still it's going to be down.
Okay, and maybe just to understand the sort of aftermarket business a little bit better, you're growing 3% there in Critical. And just to understand the kind of proportion of that aftermarket that's booked and billed, the proportion of that aftermarket. So if we see aftermarket orders coming through, what proportion of that is booked and billed in the quarter?
Yeah, I mean, typically, Max, it's about a four-month lead time, typically. But there will be some bigger lumps in there. You probably remember, Max, if you look at our aftermarket for Critical, about 60% of it is parts. And that's really what's driving the majority of that lead time. About 20% is valve upgrades, and a valve upgrade can take a year, and that obviously is quite lumpy. You know, a typical valve upgrade could be $1 million. And then 20% is field service. And again, some of our field service contracts, as you can imagine, are annual contracts, and others are very short term. So it's a bit of a mixture depending on what's coming through, but that gives you a reasonable idea, I think, of how it flows through into sales.
Okay, and just the final one was around, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you said that value engineering orders were 41 million in the quarter, was that correct?
Yes, that's exactly what Mark said. That's absolutely correct. So last year, Max, you remember we won £80 million using value engineering. Probably the start, and Mark sort of pointed out in his script, we won two really nice petrochemical orders in the first quarter using value engineering. And there were two petrochemical orders we wouldn't normally have won because they were right in our competitor's heartland. So yeah, that was a nice victory.
Because I think you said last year that these kind of value engineered products were about 15% cheaper to make, or you could lower the price by 15%. Are you still fully giving that benefit to the customer, or are kind of maybe slightly better end market conditions allowing you to retain any of that?
Oh, no, Max, I mean, I don't want to give that impression at all. Our end market conditions are just as tough, if not tougher, than 6 months ago. You know, even if I look at, you know, your power is our biggest sector. Power in China has weakened further. LNG is no better than it was. We have literally won a handful of projects that have happened to come along in this timing. It's more about time phasing using value engineering. And if anything, we've had to give up a bit more margin to customers, because every competitor is chasing a handful of projects.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Max.
Our next question comes from the line of Jonathan Munty. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning. Just a couple of questions, please. First of all, maybe sometimes in the past you've commented on the subsequent months, so if you give any comment, particularly, I guess, for precision, how April's looked so far in Q2. Secondly, it's always been the discussion that we'd possibly look at an acquisition in precision, maybe back into 17 into 18. I wonder maybe an update on that. And then finally, just some maybe feedback from the, I think you were launching the new products in precision in Hanover in the last couple of weeks and just how that went.
Thanks, Jonathan. Listen, subsequent month, Dan, got flash figures, guys, so it's relatively early, but Dan, a quick heads up on that.
Preliminary, April last year was a good month, so we are down, and in particular, Jonathan, in precision, we're seeing a 3% reduction. Now, of course, we already talked about the working days there, so that's in line with what we expected, and obviously it leads us towards our guidance for the first half.
In terms of acquisitions, Jonathan, very clearly the business now has the bench strength in terms of management capability. Our processes are now really coming on stream well. The new IT systems are really starting to be integrated. So all that says to us that we are able now to take on acquisitions and deliver well in terms of synergies. As you know, it's a bit of a roll of the dice in terms of when they become available. And the thing that we're most cautious about, obviously, is that multiples being paid in the marketplace are a little heady that we see across the sector. So we'll be careful to make sure that any acquisitions we take on are value-enhancing. But I can tell you we're actively out there. We're looking for opportunities, but we're not going to overpay, to get the right assets in. But certainly the team's focused and we're spending time on it. And we would love to buy a North American acquisition of scale and precision if something were to become available. The final question, Jonathan, was about Hanover. Let me hand that to Massimo, if I can.
Sure. Good morning, Jonathan. So Hanover last week was a very, very good fair for us. We are really pleased. We had a lot of very interested customers. We had an excellent feedback on our new products. Last week, we launched officially our new three major products launches. The first was in actuators with the new ISO line. Second major product was on air preparation with the new Exelon Plus. And the third, a new valve island. All of the three families with increased capabilities of communication and digital transmission, so consistently with Industry 4.0. So excellent reception, and we are very excited now starting selling this great new product. So very, very positive output last week in Hanover.
Can I just a slight follow-up on that? Should we be thinking about ramp-up costs, marketing, et cetera, on those launches as we go through the year, modeling that explicitly?
Look, they've been absorbed within the results that we've outlined, guys. We tend to take a prudent approach in terms of our budgeting for these launches and the build-up of inventory. As you're aware, Massimo was successful in bringing down his inventories last year quite substantially. We probably won't see the same benefit this year because of the ramp-ups, but we're still expecting some progress in terms of working capital in his business during the course of this year, Jonathan. Okay, have we got other questions on the line, Lyndon?
Our next question comes from the line of Mark Davis-Jones. Please ask your question.
Morning all. Can I go back to Roy and some of the end markets within critical? The further weakening in power in China, is that just timing in general market, or is there some impact from the sort of increased shift towards renewables that seems to be going on in terms of spending there? And any progress in power outside of the Asian markets? I think we've been waiting for something to happen in the US for a very long time, but little sign of it happening. Any progress there?
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Mark, in China, as you know, there's been a huge push to renewables, a bit of a push to nuclear. You know, some of our uptake in the first quarter, we won a couple of nuclear orders in China, and of course there weren't any nuclear orders for us in the first quarter of last year. But coal in particular is under pressure, and that's exactly what I was referring to. The Chinese government, you know, has slowed down the rate of approvals on coal-fired power. So, you know, whether that's sustainable or not, I'm not sure, because there's still a huge need over the medium term for electricity in China as their, you know, more energy-intensive industries pick up, like mining and so on. US, I agree with you, you know, no real pickup at the moment, no real discernible change in what we've seen over the last couple of years.
Thanks. And any sort of update on where you're seeing in terms of the timing of the cycle on the oil and gas side? It's obviously very tough through this year, but any more visibility about where we've bottomed and when we should see some sort of inflection there?
Yeah, it's, Mark, as you know, there's many more economists than me trying to call this, but I think you remember that the biggest single part of our new construction oil and gas is LNG. And from that perspective, we see it as a fantastic long-term market. We had a presentation yesterday, you know, where we see it's 4.5% to 5% long-term. But as you know, there's overcapacity in place, you know, for the next 2 or 3 years. So for us, it's going to be, we think, at about the level that we saw last year in terms of orders, sort of 25 million. And we don't see an inflection in that market yet. We have made some progress in upstream, but that's more to do with the new product that we released. So Mark, I would say, you know, no real sign, apart from shale, obviously, and we've got very little in shale. But outside of shale, we don't see any real discernible upturn yet.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Stephen Swanton. Please ask your question.
Morning, guys. I had a couple of questions. One is, can you clarify what the order input was in Q1 in critical, just the year-on-year organic number in case I missed it? The second question is on precision, and I was just wondering if some of the other end markets picked up, some of the other sectors picked up in Q1 versus Q4. You've already kind of referenced, obviously, trucks and industrial automation. And actually linked to that, I mean, because of the pickup, and I guess things are going better than expected, I know it's still pretty early days, but does it make you think differently about the second phase of Project Janus, or is it still too early for that?
So I think in terms of Q1, our order input was up 23% for critical versus last year. And as Roy said, we were successful with some value engineering projects, particularly in petrochemical, that delivered 16 million of order input during the quarter. So that was a great outtake for Roy's team. But it's not delivered until, you know, I think there's virtually none of it being delivered this year, is there, Roy?
That's right, Mark. It's all for early next year.
So, you know, great to have the orders, but just be careful to not translate that 23% of order input into revenues this year. I think in terms of precision, 80% of the revenues do come out of industrial automation and commercial vehicle. We saw some downside in life sciences, Stephen. And that's really because of customer change of product, and that's a change out of an old product to a new one, and there takes some time before that starts to get some traction. Energy was down a bit, but we're holding our own in market share terms. And in rail, we saw some really good orders during the year, during the quarter. But again, coming back to the two most important things, industrial automation up 5 and commercial vehicle down 2 in net terms in the quarter.
Okay.
And Janus Phase 2, look, we're still, we have a plan in place, Stephen. We're working through that plan. Clearly, if the industrial automation market continues to show progress, and we have had some successes in truck. We mentioned the Kongsberg program that has been secured, and there is a large line of opportunities that Massimo is chasing in truck. It's probably going to be the next 6 months to determine what of those drop through, but those things will affect our Janus program as we outlined in February.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of William Turner. Please ask your question.
Hi, everyone. Two questions for me, both on precision engineering. Is it possible to quantify the marketing costs that you're expecting for the first half, and whether you expect this to be a headwind on margins or whether you expect margins to actually be down year on year? And then secondly, what are these marketing costs being spent on? Are you trying to expand into other regions outside of Western Europe? As you mentioned, Asia performed particularly strong this quarter. Thank you.
Yeah, William, I think in terms of precision, to be clear, we've just launched a brand new range of products, and it's the first new platform products that have been introduced for 10 years. The marketing expenses are very much about things like the Hanover Fair, making sure the branding and the brochures and the other things are undertaken. It's not huge in the overall scheme of things. Margin-wise, as we've said, we're expecting that we will see some progress in margin as a consequence of the improved revenue in the first quarter, and that's reflected in our outlook statement. So, look, I think in terms of marketing, you're going to see a ready run rate from the first half into the second half. We're not expanding into new sectors. What we are doing is bringing new products to the table. For those that have known us well over a number of years, we have seen a declining market share year on year on year over a decade, and the intention of these products is to reverse that trend and then to see some growth beyond that. So, look, I think we're absolutely on track, William, but you don't need to worry about significant marketing costs impacting margins in either the first half or the second half of the year.
Sorry, I actually meant for hydronic engineering rather than precision.
In hydronic, we did the ISH trade show this year, and there are expenses in doing that show. It's every 2 years, so as a direct comparator of last year, there will be a small decline in margins in the first half. We took $5 million of costs out of that business, as you'd be aware, at the start of this year, and very clearly in the full year, we're expecting a bit of a pickup in the margins.
And they're clearly already in a rhythm now of bringing new products every year, so it's well baked into the last year results.
Great, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Glenn Leedy. Please ask your question.
Good morning, guys. On Hydronic, I think at the end of last year you flagged up you had a new distributor on board. Is that now fully up and running and the supply chain stocked properly? And the second question was on the precision business. Trucks have done better than expected so far this year. Have you changed your overall expectations for the US and European truck markets for the whole of the year?
So listen, we'll hand over to Peter first. Pete, on your new over-the-counter contracts, I think Glenn's question was, is the supply chain now filled and are you starting to see some revenues come from that? So, Pete, could you take that, if you will?
Yes, we are. Good morning, Glenn. The European-wide agreements that we have with the new wholesalers take us into new markets that we haven't played in before, and the new products are helping out, and that's really the underpin to the 4% growth in the first quarter. So that's going very well. The supply chains are stocked. That was done in the fourth quarter last year. And obviously, there's a great potential, because the great thing about these over-the-counter customers are that they're more predictable. It's repeat business, and obviously we intend to expand that further during the course of this year.
Okay, and Massimo in Precision?
Yeah, good morning, Glenn. So with regards to the CV market, we certainly have both sides of the ocean improved pictures in terms of full-year sales. We believe the U.S. market was expected to be negative of about 10%. We'd rather be around 5% decline year over year. And in Europe, where we're expecting a market of about -5%, -7%, we'd rather be close to being flat. So definitely an improvement. What unfortunately has not been an improvement for us is the 13 million of contract coming to an end that is maintained, and it is definitely an important headwind for us in the CV market in 2017.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of David Larkham. Please ask your question.
Morning, guys. Most of my questions have been answered, but just if we look at critical, I'm sort of surprised a little bit by the mix that, you know, it's the new equipment orders which seem to be doing better, or sales, sorry, in the first quarter, because I would have thought you'd have had a lot more visibility on that. So was that a surprise that that business is sort of generating the growth rather than the aftermarket?
David, it's Roy. Yeah, morning, Dave. Not really, though. It wasn't that much of a surprise. We, as you know, in this market, customers, you know, at the last minute will not come for an inspection, or find a reason they don't actually want the goods because the market's slow and the projects are, you know, running slow. So we have to be reasonably conservative in our forecasting, you know, to take all of that into account. And what actually happened in March was that we got a nice run on two large projects, one of which was in petrochemical, where the customer actually, having gone slow in this project since March last year, now wants to get it done. So, you know, we had a bit of luck, really, in terms of completion during March, which is what's, you know, driven those sales up. And as I said, it's not a reason to get overly excited, because at the half year, yes, we're going to be slightly better than we thought, but we're still not going to be, you know, in positive territory, I don't think, David, versus last year.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Michael Block. Please ask your question.
Good morning, gents. This is a question, I think, for Dan. You've given us guidance on the FX impact based on average Q1 rates. If you were to recast that at recent spot rates, obviously with Q1 under your belt, what do you think the benefit would be?
Yeah, hey, Michael. Yeah, obviously, Theresa May's election made a bit of a move. That 7% we're calling for the full year comes down to probably around 5. Again, still very much first half loaded, in light of what happened in the middle of last year with the exchange rate. So yeah, so if you take what we're seeing right now, it'll probably be around 5.
Okay, thanks very much.
Yep, sure.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, star 1 if you wish to ask your question. Our next question comes from the line of James Law. Please ask your question.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I have two, both on the critical engineering segment. The first question I have is, as you know, a couple of your peers have reported their results as well over the last 2 weeks, a few of them in the U.S., I'm sure you're aware. They tend to report negative, low to mid-single-digit decline in revenues, and so on and so forth. And obviously, your numbers are much better than that. Can I read that as evidence that you are gaining market share because of value engineering and all the things you're doing, or are the numbers actually comparable? So that was my first question. My second question, much shorter, is regarding China, where they are pushing renewables, or at least non-coal-fired power station. Do you have a sense whether you can sell the same amount of content per megawatt of power to a nuclear station, to a gas power station, as much as you can do in coal? Thank you.
Good questions, James. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, we obviously watch the peer group like a hawk, you know, and, you know, we don't want to read too much into it because we are in slightly different areas, and, you know, we're very strong in LNG, and for a long time that was really good for us, and lately it hasn't been so great for us, but it will be good again in the future. And we're obviously tend to be slightly stronger in power than most people as well. And perhaps the third thing, James, is that, you know, our aftermarket content is high, you know, for a valve company, because we've got a lot of control valve business in very critical applications, you know, where they get worn out a lot. So we've got a good sort of base business. You're right, though, you know, and again, the first quarter is the first quarter, and perhaps I ought to give you one more stat, actually. Orders were 23% up in the first quarter. We've actually got flash April orders overnight, as Dan said, and year to date, we're now 12% up. And that, you know, that's still a lot stronger, I think, than all the peer group. But you know, that just shows you how lumpy this business is, and I really don't want people to get carried away with that 23% number. I think value engineering is definitely giving us an edge, James, and even in areas now where I honestly didn't expect to win because the competition is the competition's homeland, and I'm referring to those two Caterfin orders in Asia. You know, value engineering is giving us an edge. Plus, you know, we are going aggressively after that business because of the contribution it makes to fix overheads, because of the aftermarket that comes with it. So, you know, as we keep saying, you know, our new construction margins are about 2% lower than they were, as I've said on the last few calls, when we're quoting in overall terms. So I think it's a mixture of those things. We're definitely becoming a lot more competitive. It's definitely value engineering helping. The lean work is helping in terms of our setup times, the organization in our factories. And, of course, ERP is starting to contribute. We're very much standardizing our systems, our reporting within ERP, and the effect that's having on improved overhead efficiency. So I think it's a mixture of all that investment that's gone in, James, that's making us a more competitive company. China, just very quickly on China. Yeah, our content on nuclear is very similar per gigawatt as it is in fossil power. In gas, it's about the same as well. What we like, you know, what is really good for us is combined cycle gas, especially your heat and power, because if that gas power station is cycling heavily, then it obviously drives up our spares content, and that is obviously where we make very good margins. So that's the only comments I would make on that area, James.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Ryan Gregory, please ask your question.
Hi, morning everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. Just a couple on precision, please. How has your capacity utilization rate gone over the last 6 months or so, both through your internal actions and clearly through better demand trends? And then quickly, the contract loss in commercial vehicle, is there going to be a bigger impact in Q2 versus Q1, or is it going to be the same? Thanks.
Yeah. Good morning, Ryan. First of all, about the capacity, we are improving our capacity utilization. As you may remember, when we started Janus project, we were around 50%. Now we are very close to 60%, and we are targeting to be at 65% by the end of 2017. So we are progressing as planned, so we are quite pleased. With regards to the contract in CV, there are not big differences quarter over quarter, but in Q2 is a little bit higher, but direction is about the same.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Edward Maravanika. Please ask your question.
Morning, all. Just a quick question on precision engineering, if I may. I think you said last year North America was down significantly. How has this year started in commercial vehicle in particular?
Yeah, good morning, Edward. So in the U.S., Q1 has been overall slightly negative. despite a positive results in terms of industrial automation. And in CV, it is a little bit better than expected, but still negative by 3 points.
Okay. Okay, understood.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time, Mark. Please continue.
So thank you very, very much for joining the call. I hope you take from this call that, look, we have seen a good and positive first quarter to the year. We do have second quarter comparators to think about in terms of last year. The outlook expectations that we set out in February, obviously were upgraded to a overall consensus of 61.5, and we feel comfortable, given the first quarter, that that's an objective that's certainly achievable. And we're seeing some good progress in a number of markets. So thank you very much for joining the call. I wanted to reiterate, no unpleasant surprises from the organisation. Our strategy remains absolutely on track. And these new products that were launched, particularly the Hanover Fair, I spent time with Massimo and his team. Great deal of excitement and enthusiasm from the sales force. And we think that momentum will build as those products hit the market. So, again, thank you very much for participating on the call.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.